Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen. We really appreciated that singing, and just real wonderful singing. So singing it from her heart. Brother Tony just leads, and everyone just singing together. It just, it's a blessing. Amen. A lot of musicians be seated if you'd like to. I think we got a good one. I wish I could do that. You know, you got some musicians that can do all kinds of stuff. They can play, they can sing, they can build stuff. And, you know, I go, if I need a welder, I go buy one. Brother Tony builds one. You know? And it amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. And, you know, and if this, I think God can use that in his nature, even in pastoring. A lot of doing that stuff. It'll cause him to not try to do it himself, but he'll say, Lord, I need help. How do I do this? And ask the Lord's blessing. And that's why it works the way it does. Counter Provost being among me tonight, I want to speak to you on a thought that's been on my heart for a while now. I just pray that I can get it out to you the way I feel inside my heart. You know, that's the hardest part. But I want to speak to you the sign of the true church.
Amen.
Sign of the true church. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. And we're just going to start on verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 10. Zechariah 4, 1 through verse 10. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon it, and his seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? For Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet and the hand of Zerubbabel when those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, we've read your word, Lord. Lord, we believe your word is true. Every heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away, Lord. And Lord, that's where we want to find ourselves resting on. Not resting on emotions, not resting on church organizations or ideas. Lord, we want to be found resting upon the revelation of your word. Help us, Lord. We want to be the sign of the true church today. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I just want to read another quote that kind of goes with this, what we had read. It says, Now what is a candlestick? It is a lampstand. And notice how beautiful here, when he turned, he saw this one like the Son of Man here, standing in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Which means seven church ages to come, and each pipe or lampstand hooked into the main big oil censer, and in this oil come forth up to this odd-shaped lamp that sat with a wick in it, and the wick hung down into the oil. And as long they poured oil into the top of the stand, which filled up the main big stem, the big branch, and it come out into the stem like this, and the lamp with the wick hanging down this pipe into it kept burning day and night. You never had to light it. It never went out. They just kept pouring oil into the main pipe. And these lampstands would come out like this, and the lamp sitting on top of them, the wick from the lamp run down into there, got its life out of here. Oh, what different it made from a candle. How different. It's a lampstand and it's pulling oil. Now these lampstands, the fire that was on the lampstands in the Old Testament, when they lit one lamp, they could not light the lamp with the same fire they had in their hand. I want you to catch that. I'm going to read that again. I want you to pay attention to what he said there. Now these lampstands, the fire that was on these lampstands in the Old Testament, when they lit one lamp, they could not light the next lamp with the same fire that they had in their hand. They lit one lamp, then picked it up and lit the other lamp, and then set it down and lit this lamp, and then took and lit this lamp with the same fire that they had started at the beginning. Oh, I hope it don't go over your heads. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same fire of the Holy Ghost lit every one of those churches right down through the ages. You say, amen. It's as much as we would love to, whenever we talk to even our own children, I would love to be able to take this fire with my hand and just go light them, my children, or the people from the street, or people in the church. It won't work. We can't do that. It takes God. It takes God going through God's process, the way God had those lampstands. And I read the scriptures, but to quickly illustrate it again, it's not candlesticks, because a candlestick will burn out and that's it after it's burned down. But a lampstand is where you've got the seven licks and you've got wicks that all go down in the exact same oil, drawing from the same wool. And he said it pulls and it draws the oil. And that's what it is whenever you take a believer that has been truly been born again. You've got something on the inside of you. You will draw from God. You will hunger. And that is, and I'm just going to cut a little short on the message of what I was going to say later on as far as one of the punchlines, because I want you to be thinking about throughout the message, is that is a sign of a believer is whenever you are hungering and thirsting for God. Where you've got something inside of you that is pulling for more of God, more of God, more of God. What is it? You've got a wick. You are a wick inside of you, and you are pulling that oil. And that's why we can't just go anywhere to get that, to fill that oil, because it says this is where it's at. These are the lampstands. This is the wick. This is the oil. This is the process of life. So that wick can't go somewhere else to draw the life. That wick can't go over here and draw life. There's one place that wick must draw life, and that is in the provided way of that lampstand of the provided oil. And whenever you follow that process, there will be life.
Amen.
Amen. We can show the truth, but it takes to others, but it takes God to light the fire. And it'll be the same fire that lit all of the other lampstands. It'll be the same fire that lit every true believer down the ages. It's the same God. Now, man is always trying to do things his own way, or say, this is what I think the scripture means. This is what it does. Man always gets himself in the land of reasoning. And when you find yourself in the land of reasoning, you will get away from the Word of God. We must line ourselves with the Word of God. Amen. We must. There's a provided way of worship, and when God, what the way God says for us to come, that is the way we must come. I want us handed to pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. Now, just previous to this scripture, he was talking where it says, some will say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of all these ministers. And he says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? He said, one will plant, one will water, but it takes God to give the increase. Okay, and this is that's part of the scripture. And he says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, there is a reality of that. There's many men, there's many ministries that are building something. They're trying to build, and it will be tried by fire.
Right.
And that's where I love where we have been so graciously given a message in the hour, a prophet that was able to go beyond the curtain of time, and he saw all these people that were running to him, and he said, who are these people? And he said, these are all Branhams. He said, no, these are believers. And he's talking about, how many knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
He sees all these people that are running to him, and he says, these are of your age. And they said that Paul will be judged according to what he preached with those people. And Brother Branham said, I'll be judged also. And he said, well, I preached exactly what Paul preached.
Right.
And all of the saints said, we are resting on that.
Amen.
And brother and sister, I believe that is in us. That is what we are doing. We are resting on it, that Brother Branham preached the exact same message that Paul preached.
Right.
And you as believers are resting on that the ministry here is preaching the exact same message that Brother Branham preached and what Paul preached.
Right.
Because we must proclaim that exact same message in the exact same frequency. You know, there's a lot of people that can preach parts of the message, this and that and that, and we see that all around, but it's not in the right frequency, and you see what it has produced. You know, we have a message that's been given to us, so we should know who we are more than ever, but yet you'll find people that are stumbling over and over and over again like they don't even have a message. And we'll get into that later on. There will be an accountability. There will be an accountability to the ministry that is preaching, and there will be an accountability to what the people did with that ministry.
Right.
Amen. And I want to be a good steward.
Amen.
Lord, help me. Help Brother Tony. Help this church. Help us, all that are listening, that we can be good stewards over what we have been given. Amen. In previous scriptures, it says that there were Apollos, there were Paul, but he says that they can preach it, but it takes God to give the increase inside that. And it's God inside that person that will respond to that call. Now, I want to show you something. Children were already in their father long before they ever got here. How many knows that's right? You have the father would have a desire for that child to be here. I remember the first time I ever saw Sister Brittany and Brother Tim and Sister Catherine, the first time I ever saw them, before my wife and I had ever gotten together, this is the beginning of time, where Brother Daniel coming to the message. I remember seeing this little girl coming up to the front, and she sung a song, Little by Little. And I remember I sat in the back, and I just wept on the inside of me, and inside my heart, I said, God, I want a daughter just like that. I want, if I saw Brother Tim, the way that he was doing her, and I remember at one point she kind of stumbled a little bit, and I saw Sister Catherine walk up to the front, and I thought myself, oh, she's going to hug her and lean her down and say, it's okay, we'll try again next time. But she didn't do that. You know what Sister Catherine did? She went and sat behind Sister Brittany, and she began to coach singing that song, and she did not let her quit. Whenever she was singing that song, Brittany, without a doubt, wanted to quit. She wanted to go sit down and say, I give up, I can't do it. But because that mother had something, that father had something. They had a vision for their daughter. They saw the end result. They saw what was possible. Brittany didn't see what was possible. They saw what was possible. They said, all you got to do, keep doing this. Keep pushing. Keep singing that song. Find that rhythm. And she just pushed right through that song like a little bulldozer. And I remember I prayed within my heart. I said, God, I want a daughter just like that. And God gave me a daughter just like that.
Amen.
That's my blessing. You know, my father, that she was in inside me already. She didn't even know it. But I had a desire. I had a craving for fellowship with my daughter, with my sons. I had a desire for that. But you know what? Them being born wasn't enough. Whenever a baby's born, you can talk to them for a little bit. They'll say, goo goo, ga ga. They'll hold them. And there's nothing like it. There is nothing like the first time you see that little baby being born. And you see life has come through the womb. And you see a little bit of my wife. I see a little bit of me. I see a little bit of this. There's a special feeling. But I've got a vision beyond that. You know, whenever she goes up and they begin to toddle across the floor, they begin to goo goo gaga and try to say mama and dada, those are wonderful parts of the fellowship. There was a limited capacity of fellowship, but I had a vision beyond that. It was something further beyond that. And as she got older, she began to talk, began to communicate, learn how to talk. And then I had something further inside me that I wanted to express. There was a hunger in me for more of that fellowship. And I was drawing that
But you know what? That mama eagle saw something much further of the fellowship. Oh, my child, as good as it may feel sitting in that comfort of that nest, let me show you what it feels like to see and feel the full expression of being an adult eagle. And you know what, brother? God is wanting us to see beyond the comfort of our nest of just going to church. He wants us to go beyond the nest and feel the full expression of being an adult eagle, an adult believer, where we are no longer tossed to and fro. I know I can fly. That devil, at first you're afraid, but what if I fall? What if I do this? And God's sitting there the whole time. If that little eaglet begins to fall and hit that ground, that mama will sweep right down. You just grab a hold of that wing from that eagle, and she'll take you right back up. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you perish. God is going to see you through. God saw the vision of you for the foundation of the world. God had you in the loins of his mind all along. God has got something higher for us.
Amen.
I want to express that. I want to be the sign of the believer where I am in the full expression of fellowship with God. Amen. I want it. Before a child is born, there's preparations that are made for the birth. And even after they are born, they are limited on the fellowship that they can have. And so was the church. The church was limited on what it can do. A child learns to talk, they learn to walk. They begin to, as they get bigger, they advance in the channel of their fellowship. With God, he desires our fellowship, and we must come his provided way to come to the full fellowship. No man wants his baby to stay a baby. Now, don't get me wrong. There are moments whenever I wish my babies were little bitty just for a moment. And I'm like, okay, let's go back to normal now. Amen. He has a craving to take them boys fishing, my daughter fishing. We go to Colorado, she outfished all of us. And we weren't trying. You know, it's when you play basketball all the time, you'll let them win. Well, there wasn't no letting her beat me on fishing. I was trying to beat her. I couldn't beat her. And I praise the Lord for it. Amen. She can't stay in diapers. They can't do that. They can't stay in just their adolescent thinking. You've got to go beyond that. You've got to go on to maturity. You've got to be as David told Solomon, be thou a man. I love that scripture. He told Solomon, don't be an adolescent. Be a man in what you're doing. Be a man in the authority that God has given you. When God gives you this authority, don't go in like a teenager. Don't go to this. Be a man in it. Be mature in it. Make mature decisions. God, help us make mature decisions. There's so many times we'll find ourselves making silly mistakes because of silly decisions that we make. And then after, we find ourselves in a little circle. Is that right? Even just living in the mountains, a man that we talk about being in the fellowship with God. If a man says, you know what, I'm not going to mess with any of the churches. I'll see all the stuff out there. I'm going to be a hermit. I'll go out to the mountains. I'll stay out there. And then I will be in perfect fellowship with God because none of that stuff, that man will not be in perfect fellowship with God because he has to come God's provided way. And God's provided way through the fellowship is God has given a fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 19. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all plainness with greediness.
God has given a fivefold ministry that is God's provided way. So for a man to say, well, you know what? I don't need no fivefold ministry. I'll do it on my own. I got the tapes. You are out of God's perfect will because God said you need it. And who in the world are we to say that we don't need it? If God tells me I need something, I need it.
That's right.
And he says, this is how we're going to do it. That we get to the unity of the faith that we're not tossed to and fro. But if we look around the world, even in the message, brother and sister, you see so many people that are tossed to and fro. Why? They have the message. They're reading quotes. They're reading the Bible. What is it? They're preaching the wrong frequency. You know, I'm going to tell you something, and please just hold on while we're doing this. God does the calling when he calls a minister. And when God calls a minister, he will run from that, and that man will not be able to eat, he won't be able to sleep, he won't be able to get it off of his mind. God will stay on him, and I ain't doing it. He'll run from it. God will keep calling, and finally say, okay, God, I'll do it. And when he does that, and if that man will stay humble, God can use that man. And that's using God's provided way. But so many times you'll have somebody that will have an ambition to be a minister. I want to do this. I want to do it. And he's got the quotes. He's got the scriptures. He's got this. But he's not doing it under God's calling. And because he's not doing it under the right frequency, you're not going to get the right results. You cannot shortcut God. You've got to come God's provided way. Because who is it that called you a son or daughter of God? It was God that called you, not the preacher. You know, a preacher can preach all he wants to, but he does not do the calling of your heart. The true conviction of the Holy Ghost comes from God and God alone. Amen. God will put that deep. God will put that thirst. God will put that deep call to the deep. And when God does that, he'll lay that deep call to the deep, that call inside of a minister's heart. Some man that did not want to preach in the first place. Some man that said, I don't want to preach. I'm not good enough. I can't talk. I've got these mistakes in my life. I can't do it. And he'll keep calling that minister. And when that minister finally says, okay, God, I'll do it. And God will lay something on him to preach. And that man will go and he'll preach under the authority of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then you that have a deep call to the deep, you'll say, that's what I've been looking for. And because it's under the right frequency, it's the same thing as God. I want you to imagine a candlestick. Brother Branham's standing, forgive me for doing this, but it's the way I can explain it. Brother Branham's standing on top of that candlestick, and he's preaching the same frequency. That preacher is preaching the same frequency of exactly what Brother Branham preached, of exactly what Paul preached, all the way down. When you're doing that, you're drawing the exact same oil. In order for us to have the original oil, we must listen to the original process of the original word.
Right.
Because whenever you're doing it under that same anointing, you'll get the exact same results.
Amen.
That's right. We're living in an age where we don't need to be tossed and froze. Do I got the Holy Ghost or not? Do I hear this or not? We are at the age where God has given us the ability through the revelation of the word. I know in who I am. I know I'm going in this body change. Amen. Nobody can just choose a place of ministry, but it is a calling. And that when that man will lay his life down and seek God with a travailing heart, God can use that man. But brother and sister, I'm going to, Lord, help me have more of a travailing heart for lost souls. I need more of a travailing heart. I need a heavy heart where I am so burdened for lost souls.
Yeah.
I want to be so burdened for our little flock here that God, don't let me lay my head on my pillow until I've done all that is required and called of me today.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, God, help me to be utilized. And if God can do that for a ministry, how about the believer and the worshiper?
Yeah.
You should do the same thing, my brother and sister. Travail. God, help us reach souls. God, help us to not just be just a building or a lodge or something else, but may the Spirit of God be among us and in us. And may my life be the sign that I believe this message. I said, let my life be the sign that I believe the message. Not that I say that I do. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. To effectively serve Christ, we must lay our life down for our brethren. We must acknowledge that we need favor with God, and we must crave for the favor of God for our brethren. It's not running after big name preachers or big name meetings. Those things are fine. Hey, if you get a touch from a youth camp, praise the Lord. But that's not where it's at. Brother Brown was asked one time, a person came to him, they said, Brother Brown, I didn't get this quote, but I'll tell you the best I can. You can look it up. I said, Brother Branham, how can I pin it down to a point where I receive the Holy Ghost at this time? How can I do it, Brother Branham? He said, I went to Brother Billy Graham's meetings, and I went to that service, and they said, just go in there and pray, raise your hand, and just keep praying and praying and praying until you just feel love in your heart. And then he got it. He said, you know, I left that building. He said, I realized I didn't have it. He said, I went to Brother Oral Roberts' message, the Oral Roberts meeting, Pentecostal, big Pentecostal preacher. He said, how can I know I've got the Holy Ghost? How can I know I've really, really got it? I want to know that I've got it. He said, Oral Roberts said, go in there and just keep praising the Lord until you get so full of joy and you'll just get the Holy Ghost. So he said, I went in there, I prayed, I stomped my feet, I raised my hand until I felt that joy and I spoke in tongues. So I finally, brother, he said, and Oral Roberts said, do it until you speak in tongues. He said, I did it, and I did it, and I did it until I spoke in tongues. I did. I spoke in tongues, but I left, and I didn't get it. He said, I was like, I want to have it, Brother Branham. How can I know that I've got it? And he said, Brother, those are attributes. Having joy, that's an attribute. Speaking with tongues, that's an attribute. You know, but he said, but the thing for you to do is to receive the person of Jesus Christ. He said, that's our desire tonight, is to close the curtain between you and Jesus Christ, where you meet the person of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, and this is me. This is the second side. They say, who do you say that he is?
Right.
That's where you individually, who do you, not they, who do you say this right. message is? Who do you say Jesus Christ is? But he said, you know, that's the thing for you to do is to meet the person of Jesus Christ. He said, if I was to point it to one side, if I was to point you and say, okay, this is it, the closest thing that I could ever give is a travailing heart for lost souls. Somebody that is travailing because I want more of God. A travailing heart that says, I just want one more service. I want to be in your presence, God. God, I want you to enter. I want you to come into my prayer room, God. I want you to open your word to me, God. He said, if I can point it to one thing, that's where I point you. Whenever you are hungering for the word. Mm-hmm. Brother and sister, God help us to travail for more of the word. Right. Travail for the presence of God. Whenever we will lay our life down for our brethren. Where we have a burden for our brethren. And I'm telling you what, that's where you get your... I've seen it in my own life just as a testimony. Okay? That's where I've had my greatest victory is when I am so burdened for my brother and sister and I'm looking for a scripture to encourage them. I'm looking for a scripture. God, help me to be a help to them. When I do that, I don't even realize when I'm preparing to try to feed them. You know who I'm feeding also? This guy.
Right.
Whenever you have a hunger and a passion for a lost soul, you have a hunger for your children, a hunger for your pastor to move more, a hunger for your son to do better, a hunger for these things that we can all strive to be closer to God. Amen. Whenever we lay our life down for the brethren, Brother Brown said he would rather see a church that hungers and thirsts for more of God and has a hunger for more of the word. He said, I would rather see that than to see someone speaking in tongues, shouting and dancing and doing all these other things.
Right.
Because you know what? There's a lot of people that will dance in the spirit. They'll shout. They'll do this stuff. They do all kinds of work, outward emotion, and they'll go out of those doors. And it's what they do outside those doors. It shows a different life.
Right.
God help us whenever we're out those doors to have a hunger for lost souls. Amen. Brother Brown says this. He says, we are acquainted with this scripture that reads the Bible. We know that this was during the time of preparation of the restoration of the temple. And Zerubbabel was a great prince among the people who had laid the foundation of the building. Now, I want you to put on your spiritual thinking anointing jacket this morning. As we think. And this great prince had determined to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then when he did, he had laid the foundation stone. And as we read on further, we find out that God said Zerubbabel had laid the foundation with his hands. He also shall bring forth the headstone. That's what he's saying. I want you to notice, he never said he shall bring forth the cornerstone. He shall bring forth the headstone. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is also the headstone. Now, we will think for a few minutes that the seventh church messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last day. Zerubbabel, the prince of, with Joshua, was one that was to bring forth this headstone. He had laid the foundation. He had took the people back to the foundation in type. Which we all know that these candlesticks and so forth represented both Jewish and church. They were olive branches. The Bible said they were, says it here. The olive branch, we are the wild branch that was grafted into the root of the tame olive tree, Gentiles. And out of these two branches come censer pipes going into the seven golden candlesticks to give light to the seven ages. Now remember in our teaching on the lessons that we've been through that we took the Great Pyramid and studied that for a while that Enoch must have built. And the headstone was never put in the pyramid. I've been there. The architecture of it could never be replaced to this day. We have no machines that could build a pyramid. No powers unless the atomic power that could build a pyramid because it's too gigantic. Stones that will weigh tons and tons and tons stands away in the air so put together that even a thin razor blade cannot, they're not cemented. They're just cut so that they join with one another. And that's the way the body of Jesus Christ should be. So cut by the Holy Spirit, by God's great instrument and tool, that we be joined as one person. We are not divided. We should be one person. And it goes to show that no machinery can do that way. It takes God to do that. No mechanics of organization, no lodges, none of these things can ever do it as good as their intentions are. They can never do it because it takes God to do this, the Holy Spirit. You say amen. These stones are so heavy, they're so precise, that man cannot do it. They cannot do it. And I believe it's a perfect type because that stone in the Bible is a revelation.
That's right.
And no man, intellectually, no matter how hard he tries to teach, you can never teach. You can never give revelation. And you can never form the body of Christ in yourself.
Right.
It takes God to put this bride together.
And
it does it in the same form we were talking about, the deep call to the deep for the believer, the deep call to the deep to the preacher. It's all them surrender. It is God and the believer and the receiving heart. It is God and the preacher and the receiving heart and then the giving heart. It's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. So the sign of the church today is what? It's whenever the believers are, they're identifying with their message from their heart. Not just taking a form, but a life on the inside of you. Where it's a joy to serve the Lord. You say, amen, I know it is for you. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to be a Christian. You don't have to beat me with a stick to want to go to church. Now, sometimes this old flesh, man, he might want to lay down. Like, you know what, whatever, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Because, you know, there's something inside. Let me clarify what I'm saying. There will be times in your flesh where your flesh will be tired. Sure there will. But there's something inside you that is hungering more than what this flesh is, and you'll put this flesh in subjection on a daily basis. That's right. It's a hunger. It's a thirst for God. Man-made machines cannot produce the stones, and the stones in the Bible is a revelation. Man cannot give any man the revelation or build the body of Christ. It's a supernatural move of God that does that. And without the move of God, it's just a lodge. Just because something has a name on it does not mean it's alive. You know, I can go up to the funeral home up here and find someone that's dead. They don't have a name on it. I can put a name on it. Just because I put a name on it doesn't mean that thing's alive. There would be life. There should be signs of life if it's alive. And brother and sister, and a believer, there should be signs of life. And the sign of life is whenever we have a hunger and a thirst for God. Whenever you have something inside you that's pulling. You know, when you got someone laying on the floor, a paramedic goes there. I used to be a first responder. Who knows that? I used to be a first responder. And I remember one time we were pulling up beside the road and we saw, my wife, I remember this very clearly because I remember it very clearly. You were going down the road and a man was laying in the road. People were driving on. Remember, she nodded her head, yeah. We pulled over there, put a flashing, put the car in a safe place to try to keep people off of him. When I went to the man, I was reaching down there and I was looking for signs of life. And you know what I did? I put my finger on his vein and his neck, and I was feeling for a heartbeat. Now, for there to be life, that doesn't mean he has to be running and shouting and doing all that stuff. But there should be something pulsating. Bump, 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 bump. That's a sign of life. But how alive is that man? Brother and sister, I don't want to go through this life on my Christian life where all the life I've got is where you have to put your finger on my pulse and say, bump, bump. Yep, he's alive.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just staggering like that. I want to be an effective, living, operating, Holy Ghost-filled person that is filled with the Holy Ghost, child that is a healthy, that has the signs of life. Amen. Now, if I was up here moving around, he'd look at me and says, do you think he's dead? Because he's moving around, well, we can look at that and say, no, there's signs of life. But people have gone the wrong way with that. Through Pentecost, they saw people shouting, speaking in tongues. Okay, I'm going to speak in tongues because that's a sign of life. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to dance. I'm shouting in the Spirit. That's a sign of life. By looking at our eyes by doing that. But you find out a lot of them are dead. You see how deceiving it is? People would speak in tongues. They would prophesy and get it right, do all these great things. Signs of life. But what's the real sign of life? It's whenever something inside here that will line up with the Word. And you'll say, amen, that's true. There's something inside you that's pulling and pulling you back to the Word. I'm going to say you'll never make mistakes. As long as I've said this many times, I'll say it again. I heard Brother Brenham say it, so I'm just echoing the same voice. What makes a righteous man is not a man that don't make mistakes, but a righteous man is a man that will confess his faults. So remember that. When you fall flat on your face, but you pick yourself up, there's something inside you that's pulling you back to the Word. It's a sign of life. Is that true? It's a hunger. It's something inside you that's hungry. Amen. A dog will act like a dog. And it will be attracted to things that dogs are attracted to. You can take a dog right out of the box, pick him up at Walmart, you can bring it up here. You don't have to say, now listen here, little buddy. This is what I want you to do. You wag your tail like this. You bark like this. You do this. You don't have to do that. You know what that dog will do? That dog will act like a dog automatically. But you know what? You have to train that dog. You have to say, don't potty in the house. Don't do that. But at the end of the day, he's still a dog. And you know what? That's the way it is with believers. They go to a church. People that go to church, you can train them how to walk just right. You can teach them potty training, so to speak. This is how you act. This is the way you look. This is the way you do that. You're still an unbeliever. You're still lost. You're still all this thing. There's got to be something changed on the inside of you. It's where God will put that new nature inside you. And that's where teaching, just teaching alone will not do it. Eloquent teaching won't do it. Force won't do it. Take a stick and beat them. Won't do it. There's preachers that pretty much do that. They'll abuse the poor flock, and I just feel so sorry for them. I've heard them called stupid. Stuff like, I just don't understand that. You know, I see it all the time. People will come to my dealership. A man will call his wife stupid. You know, and the wife, vice versa, call him stupid. I'm like, my goodness, that's so torn apart. God has never wanted to be that way.
Yes.
There should be such a love, such a harmony, such a grace with one another. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
But you know what? Even though it's eloquent, we talk all these things, it takes God to bless it. Brother Tony can plant, Brother Daniel can water. It takes God to give the increase.
Amen.
And where that's going to come from, brother, sister, is whenever we individually lay our life down and say, God, I acknowledge I've got to have you.
Amen.
And it's where you have a love for God. I love this truth. Remember, it's they that receive not the love of the truth, God sends strong delusion that they believe the lie. It's because they didn't love the truth. They didn't love Jesus Christ. I love him.
Amen.
You say
amen.
I love it.
My wife and I have been married for going on 20 years now. And I come across a picture the other day, and I saved on the front of my phone. Whenever we first got together and we got one of those little bitty cubicle things you get inside there and you close the curtain and they take a picture, and she was real close to me and I real close to hers, and we just took a little picture of that. And I saw that picture, I was like, my goodness, I still love that woman. I love her more today than I ever did because of all the things that we've been through. It's in love. And you know what? I don't have to fight my ambitions to go out with other women and do these things, but whenever I probably could, you know. Thank the Lord has given us a living that can provide for our needs and all these things. I have no desire to go out and swerve that on the world, go after this nonsense. I've got a wife that loves me, and I love her. It's a communication, and I know there are things that she loves, and I know there's things that she hates. Now, there's some things I'll do to pester the far out of her, but I just do that because I love her. It's the way I do it, you know. But, you know, I love her. It's a relationship. I do things because I love her, and I don't do things because I love her. It's a relationship. I don't want to offend her. I love her. I want her presence. You know what? If I was a bully or you know, somebody that bite her head off all the time, you think she'd want to spend her days with me when I'm away from work? She'd want to be away from me all the time. So you know what? He bites my head off all the time. He does this all the time. And I wouldn't blame her. But you know what? Because I love her, and there's something inside of her that's hungering for my fellowship, and there's something inside me hungering for her fellowship. And so we conduct ourselves because we don't want to offend one another. So anytime I have a day off, you find Vicky, you'll find me. You find me, you'll find Vicky. Because it's been that way for 20 years. Going on 20 years. It's a relationship. I'm not looking for a sign or someone say a photo and say, well, I see this photo. You don't have to do this because Brother Brenham did it. Look at his kids. They did this. Yeah, I don't have to look for it. There's a loophole. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do it. I'm not looking for loopholes. I want to be with her.
Right.
I want to be in her presence. I want to. Why? Because it's a love, brother and sister. And that's what I'm talking about. That love is for us and God, where we have a hunger for God. I'm not looking for a loophole of why I don't have to do this or I don't have to line up with this. I'm looking for, God, if it offends you, get it out of my life. God, if it offends you, help me, God. Help me conduct myself where I don't offend you, God. Because I want you to be welcome here. I want your presence in my life. When I take my steps, the way I conduct myself, God, help it to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Lord, when I go to talk to somebody, help them to be able to say, I've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it was about that man. There was something about him. Not trying to lift myself up, but it's because of the God that I serve. I serve a God that saved me when I didn't deserve it. I serve a God that, as I've said before, people in school were preaching, doing all this stuff. I was acting a fool doing those things. But God, by his grace, saw fit to call me because I was always his.
Right.
And I acknowledge it. I say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Brother and sister, all respect to the message. Don't look for loopholes. I've been waiting for someone to preach that where I don't have to do this no more. Because the devil will get you on that ground of reasoning, and you'll reason yourself. I don't feel bad about this. I don't feel bad about this. I don't feel bad about this. And if you watch 5 years down the road and you look how far off the mark you've gotten, what happened? You started going by reasoning. You started going by feelings. But if we go back to the love, it's my love for the Lord that's the sign. How do you know you got life in that marriage? Look at the love they've got. Look at the way they look at one another. My wife and I, to this day, will still have times. And I say this, God, I do not say this arrogantly. Please understand that. To this day, we still have people say, I want what you have because I see the way you look at her. And I see the way she looks at you. I want that. We were at a camp here not too long ago, a church camp. And I can't tell you, probably three different people come to us and said, it's just amazing to see the way you guys look at one another across the room. Nobody, Brother Tony's not said, Brother Dan, you better do it. I'm going to pull my belt off. No, Brother Tony don't have to prod me with a stick. He don't have to do those things. I love her. He probably have to get a stick to beat me away from her. Because it's a love. It's something inside of us, brother and sister. And may it be that way whenever someone hears us talk about the message that we've been so graciously given. May they say, it's so amazing to me. After all these years you've been following this message, I don't understand it, but I see that you love what you believe.
Amen.
You love it. Amen. You know, Noah had a message of judgment that was coming on the earth. And the evidence, the sign that Noah believed that message was he began to build the ark. The sign that he believed is he was going to work with what he had. And whenever Noah was hammering those 2x4s of that gopher wood, when he was taking the pitch and pitching the inside out, that was the sign of life. That was the sign that he believes this message. Not because he said, hey, God's in an ark. God's going to make it rain. I'm going to build an ark. But he never picks up a hammer. He never picks up a piece of gopher wood. He never goes to work. But he said, I believe a message. God sent a prophet, so to speak. The signs of life is whenever he began to take with the message of the prophet and went to work with it. And he began to prepare for the judgments that were going to come. And then the same waters that killed the earth saved Noah and his family. The same word that we hear, the same word that we're preaching, the same word that we testify that we believe will be the judgment of this world. But it will be the same word that will give us a body change. Because we're receiving it in the way that God gave it. Oh God, help me.
Amen.
Help me to reverence this message. Help me to not let it get common. Because you know what? There have been times in our life, me and my wife, we go through times where we just kind of get kind of common. You're just kind of living with one another. And it's up to you at that time to make the changes. What inspired me and my wife years ago to take time for one another is Brother Tony and Sister Lisa. I'm not saying this because you're in front of me. This is the truth. We heard how that y'all would take, they would take dates. They would dedicate certain days where they'd go eat breakfast on Saturdays. And that was their time that they'd go spend with one another. Now, whether it's true or not, that's what we heard. My wife told me that, and she may have said that just to get me to start hanging around for breakfast. Never thought about that. But we're talking about how we need to spend that time with one another. She said, you know what, Tony and Lisa, they get together and they go eat breakfast. I said, you know what? That is so obvious. Why don't we do that? Why don't we consecrate time where we can spend time with one another? And you know what my wife did? We started making a date to where we go eat lunch. And my wife and I eat lunch all the time. It is not because we like fast food. It's not because we want to go out and spend money. It's because it is our way to consecrate our time where there's no offense, kids. We love our kids. We absolutely love them. But you got to have that alone time. Whenever it's just me and her, I can look in her eyes and she can look at me. And there'll be sometimes I feel so defeated as a minister, I never get calls to preach. Never. You imagine having a deep call inside you where you're running from the call, and then nobody will ever let you preach for them. But as soon as you see him, it's, oh, Brother Daniel, we love your ministry. Oh, we love that. We got to have that word to get you back. Years and years and years and years and years goes by. You never hear a word from him. And then they see you again. Oh, man, Brother Daniel, I've been listening in on you. I've been hearing your prayer. Oh, we just love that word to have you come. You imagine having that, it'll beat you down, make you doubt yourself. You know what? Why am I even doing this? Maybe I should take my sword and just hang it on the wall. You know, maybe do that. And then I'll go to that, spend that time with my wife. She'll look in my eyes, and she has a way to take that old air pump and boop, 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 boop. And all of a sudden, my chest has popped out again. I'm ready to go. By love, you know. She'll speak those words of love. She will remind me. She'll speak my own words against me. She'll preach my own sermon. Brother Tony knows what I'm talking about. He'll take that word and preach it. Sometimes she'll dig something. That's pretty good. Where'd you get that at? Well, I don't know. Best preacher you ever got, your wife sometime. You know, but we'll spend those alone times whenever I feel so beat down. She has a way of picking me up. I have a thirst for someone to pick me up, and no other woman would be able to pick me up like her. There's only one woman can do it. Why? It's a deep call to the deep. There's something inside me that needs something to pick me up, and there ain't nobody else that can pick me up except her, and vice versa. And that's the way it is with us and God, brother and sister. We know that God's infinite. God knows the end from the beginning. But God wants us to remind him of his word.
Amen.
God wants us to remind him. God, you remember. You remember when you parted the Red Sea? God, you remember whenever you did these things? God, you remember whenever you took an 80-year-old man and delivered the children of Israel with flabby old arms? Here, Moses. Remember when you did that? Oh, God, you I did do that. Now, we know God is Alpha and Omega. God knows the end from the beginning. God loves it when we remind him of his word.
Amen.
When you're reminding of the promises, reminding of what he did. You let us start talking about the things that we've done now. You remember? I did remember that. I'm telling you what, God loves that time. We need to shut everything off and have that communication where it's just us and God. Or we can look him in the eyes and he can look back at us and them Google eyes and we don't care what other people say.
Amen.
Because it's communication. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Brother Tony, you're going to be hopefully going to take that little sister out to breakfast. I didn't mean to call y'all out on that. But you know what? I believe God uses natural type spiritual.
Amen.
And the more you can take a husband and wife that are in harmony with one another, the children will receive the blessings of that. A happy home. I love to see happy homes. I love to see happy children. It makes me so happy. I seen a little kid the other day. I sold a vehicle. That poor kid had a hair all shaved. He had a long little streak of hair back here. I felt sorry for him for that part, but other than that, he was smiling ear to ear. He was just as happy. He was climbing. And I looked at the people, and I said, you know what? I said, I love to see happy children. And I'm going to tell you something. Something I've learned. You want to get on an old person's side? You brag on them grandchildren. Oh, you right. I love them. That grandchild looks just like you. He does. And that's my boy. You know what? We got to remind somebody. You want to make a dad or mama feel good? That child looks just like you. And you want to remind God, it's whenever somebody from the world can look and say, that's the closest thing to Jesus Christ I've ever seen. God swelled up and said, yeah, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's right. They look just like me. We have a reservation on the other side. We got a seat that's reserved for you, and you. There's a seat reserved. Whatever you call it, when you reserve a room in a motel, you got to reserve that seat. And you know what? You can make call after call. Hey, I'm going to make sure my seat's still there. Or my reservation. Yep, it's still there. Okay. Next day. I'm just calling just to reserve. My seat's still there. Yep, it's still there. Okay. I'm just calling to make sure my seat's still reserved. Yep, it's still there. And you know what? As service after service, prayer time after prayer time, what are we doing? I'm just checking my reservation. It's already mine. God gave it to me. But I'm seeking my calling and election, and I'm making it sure on a daily basis. God, I want you. God, I want you. God, I want you. I'm just reassuring myself of the reservation that's already made. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Whenever we get there, you got to have an ID. And your ID's got to match what the reservation says. So I can't have red hair and freckles and go up there and expect whenever we go to check into our motel. They're going to look at that ID and say, I want my life to face and match that ID of what God's word said that I am.
Amen.
To the best of my ability. And I know it myself. I can't do it. Only he can.
Amen.
Whenever I surrender to that call, surrender to God's process, and one message at a time, one sermon at a time, he's just chiseling, Sometimes you'll have to break stuff, sometimes you'll take sandpaper. One service at a time, that preacher is, what's he doing? He don't even know what he's doing most of the time, because God will lay something on his heart. He's preaching just from his heart, and he didn't realize that there's a Bible open right there, and you are looking more and more and more and more and more like that Bible. And then when you get to the other side, brother and sister, we're going to look exactly the way God saw us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We're going to.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. I want to look so much. I want to look more and more like it. I want to be the man and myself that my wife will be proud of. I want my children to be in a way that I'll be proud of them. I want it to be to where the greatest end of my fellowship is whenever they are manifesting all the desires inside my heart. When they are manifesting it with a willing heart. Not as bondage. I have to do this because Dad wants me to do it. No, I want it to be a joy. Because they're manifesting what they're supposed to. It's all about our hands. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I love these people, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we want to be the evident sign
of life in this hour, Lord, for our life is testifying of what we believe. Lord, I ask you that you just walk the aisle, that you touch hearts, Lord, that you minister to needs, Lord. Lord, they that are maybe listening over the radio, Lord, touch their hearts and their homes, Lord. God, help us to realize that from the depths of honesty of my heart, I didn't say anything out of arrogancy, Lord. It's just from humility, from the love of my heart, Lord. I want us to match that target, Lord. There's a target that we're aiming for, Lord. You've given us a vision, Lord. You've given us something that we can run to. Lord, we're not running aimlessly. We're not beating at the air, Lord. You have showed us how to fight this fight. You have told us how to be real soldiers. You've taught us, Lord. You've shown us in the scriptures, Lord. But we know with having all the words, having all the message, without a humble heart, Lord, and without your favor, Lord, we will fail. But Lord, we want your favor. Lord, I desire your favor in our life. I desire your favor in this flock tonight, Lord. I ask you, Lord, would you walk the aisle? Lord, would you just tap on every heart this evening, Lord? And Lord, help us to just search ourselves for just a moment. Lord, help us to be the best expression of who you are. You've been so good to us, Lord. I don't want to put a blemish in your name in any form or any fashion. Lord, I didn't get to the quote tonight, but Brother Branham talked about how that the church, if they believed the message that they had, they would live it. He said, but the reason they don't live it is they don't believe it. Lord, I want to believe it, Lord. I want my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord, to believe it, Lord. Believe the vision that you have of us, Lord. I humble myself before you tonight, Lord. Help me from the depths of my heart, Lord. Search my heart tonight. Lord, go through every heart here tonight on the sound of my voice, Lord. If there be any arrogancy, Lord, and Lord, the devil will try to make him take offense to the preacher, or thinking the preacher's trying to be an arrogant or a know-it-all, Lord, help us, Lord, because we don't want that. We want your perfect will in our life, Lord. We want to be a true, faithful expression of who you are, Lord. God, I ask you to renew our vows with you tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to restore the love in the marriage, oh, Lord. A love in our prayer time, Lord, where it's not a burden to go to prayer, but it's a joy. It's not a burden to go and listen to a tape, but it's a joy. It's an excitement, Lord. It's not a burden to open our Bible and spend some time with you, but it's a joy. It's something we look forward to. Oh, God, I'm asking you if there be anything in our life that would try to bring a cold blanket, so to speak, to the relationship, Lord. Lord, I know you are the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart tonight, Lord. Lord, and each person will know if there is something bringing offense, Lord, even right now, Lord, may they lay it in their heart before you and say, Lord, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make the time. Lord, as my brother Tony, we testified how they said, I take the time when we have this one-on-one time, Lord. How that you have so graciously given my wife and I, when we say, we're taking the time. I can miss a cell, I can do this, but I don't care. We're taking the time to spend with one another. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would touch every believer, that they'll do that same thing with you tonight, Lord. That they'll say, no matter how hectic life gets, I might have school, I might have work, I might have all these things, I'm taking the time to commit to my relationship. That I'm going to wholly commit myself to my marriage, wholly commit my relationship to my children, wholly commit my relationship to the church of the church body of living for my brothers and sisters. Holy commit, Lord, to the position you call us to. Help us, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord, from the depths of our heart. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Ask Brother Tony to come forth. I pray that you've heard something that would be a blessing. Scripture says, if you will draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh to you. And I was saying the signs of life, if you ever feel like, you know what, the only sign of life I have is that pulse, if you're at that state, you draw nigh to him. If you, no matter what stage of that life, if you're shallow, if you're moving, it don't matter what stage of your life is, you start moving toward God. You start taking a step toward God, he will take a step toward you.
Say amen to what you heard.
Amen.
was talking to a man at work today. He said, you know, he said, in the last 6 months, I've had more pain and sorrow in my life than I have in the last 6 months than I have the rest of my whole life. He has. He's really gone through some serious things. He's the dad of the 5-year-old boy that had to have his entire colon removed. And that because of neglect with the hospital. And so we were talking today, and you know, I told him, I said, you know, as believers, you know, the Lord will test us and try us, you know, but I said, as Christians, our desire is to live Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, people do things to, you know, do things to you or, you know, mistreat you and things like that. And in ourselves, you know, we can respond to that in ourselves, and we're going to get mad and we're going to express things like that. And I said, but that's not what we as believers want. We want to live Jesus Christ. And I said, we have to go to Him. And we go to Him in prayer and we talk to Him, and He comes and He anoints you and He changes. And now all of a sudden, now you realize it's Him living and Him responding to the situations. And you know, Brother Daniel, he's talking about that whole thing right there tonight. That's, you know, that's our desire. But it has to be by the Spirit of God. And you know, you don't want to you need to have that hunger. And you don't want, you've heard me say this before, you can eat something you shouldn't a little while before supper, and then when supper comes around, you're not hungry. You can be a Christian, and you can have that hunger in your heart, and you can spend time and devotion doing things that will absolutely suppress that. And if you're a believer, it won't go away, but you'll suppress that, and it's just natural type spiritual. You won't be healthy if you're always eating a bunch of things, you know. And so you don't want to kill that hunger that's in you with temporal things. You know, we're going to a place where we're going to live forever and live throughout eternity, and we ought to be looking into what it's like in that realm. And looking to live that way. And so, you know, Brother Daniel was talking about him and his wife and looking at one another, people seeing that and so forth. And you realize they're not doing that through legalism. Sister Vicki, when she goes to visit Brother Daniel, she doesn't get out of the car and she doesn't walk up to that doorway to greet him and say to herself, now I got to make sure and look at him just right so people's going to see this.
No.
That's not what's happening. What's happening is a natural relationship that they have, and they just love one another, and they're expressing it, not to show, not to be, but it's that natural expression that they have is what gets people's attention. Because they could try to put that on, and it wouldn't do that, right? And so I said all that to say this, you know, we want to live the life of Jesus Christ. We want to love Him. We don't do it to show out. We don't do it to be arrogant. We don't say, you know what, I'm going to walk in work today and I'm just going to show people just how much a Christian I am, and I'm going to tell them how it is and be arrogant and all. No. You just love and live for the Lord Jesus Christ every day out of real sincerity and honesty, and your natural expression in that realm will speak to those around you and give you opportunities, just like me today, speaking to that man. I probably could still be talking to him if, you know, because I could tell the Lord ministered unto him in that. And so, you know, that's just how it is. Just a real, genuine life of Christ. Amen. So we thank the Lord for what Brother Daniel sung tonight. And I had all the songs that I was going to sing tonight written on a piece of paper. And I had one song that I didn't sing. And I was going to use that song to call Brother Daniel to the pulpit. And at the last moment, I decided just to sing Only Believe. But it's on a piece of paper here, so we'll go ahead and sing it. And it's song 460. Amen. How many enjoyed that? 460. It's not by might, nor by power, but by
It's not my